What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, FightfulSelect.com. It is time for my AEW NXT review for Fyter Fest Night 2, Great American Bash Night 2. A reminder, if you want a more in-depth review, check out the Wednesday Night War podcast. Mr. Warren Hayes, Alex Palowski, Louis Dangor give you about an hour, hour and a half worth of coverage there. But, for you Fightful Select subscribers, I'd like to come here and review the show. So let's go ahead and talk about it. I think we got a lead with NXT. That's where the most important thing happened. But we did kick off with Candice LeRae versus Mia Yim. A fine match. As I've mentioned before, like, there are some times when I absolutely love Mia Yim's work. There are other times when maybe I don't. Because I don't necessarily know if I know where her character's coming from. Because what I've seen of her in NXT is so different than what I've seen on the indies or on TNA at the time. Like, it seems like there's situations where she, like, smiles in the ring. And it's a good thing, obviously, to love what you're doing, but there are times when it seems like she's selling where she's smiling. And I wouldn't compare this to, like, an Angel Garza, Eddie Guerrero. Like, you can tell they're enjoying what they're doing so much they can't take the smile off their face thing. It reminds me of, like, Cliff Compton in Ring of Honor, where I'd see him chugging along and selling moves, but he'd be grinning the entire time. And maybe that's me misreading the facial reactions or whatever, but this match was a ton of fun. That was really my only qualm. And then after she gets beat, her sitting there laughing, but then kicking the chair. Again, I'm just trying to understand where her character's coming from. And maybe we'll get a little more clarity. Maybe they'll add a little more to that with Keith winning the way that he won later in that night. But I think that's what Mia has needed is a real substantive story that doesn't involve just, like, backstage attack or something like that. Bronson Reed defeated Tony Nese. It's good to see Tony Nese in action. Bronson Reed getting the win with a diving splash. Eventually, you gotta get guys like this the wins, so I don't have a problem with that at all. I'm all for that. We go backstage to see Robert Stone's big announcement. There is no announcement. He wants Shotzi Blackheart to join him. This went head-to-head with the AEW announcement, which wasn't earth-shattering and wasn't something that changed the wrestling landscape, but it definitely beat this out. Shotzi Blackheart does not want to be in the Robert Stone brand and runs over Robert Stone, which was very funny, actually. I thought that was hilarious. Robert Stone played it off great. Killian Dane then showed up and threw Robert into a wall. Yeah, Robert screamed as we went off to commercial, came back, and got an excellent match between Johnny Gargano and Isaiah Scott. It is so hard for me to not call him Swerve Strickland, and I wish they would just call him Swerve Scott instead of Isaiah Swerve Scott. I mean, just rock with that as his name, man. I mean, he made that name out on the independent circuit, and let him utilize it. Just two unbelievable workers. I say this every time I see Swerve Scott. Eventually, he's going to find that, I don't want to say the next gear. He's already there. He's going to find that little something that just clicks, and he's going to become a big star. Well on his way already, even if he doesn't find that. But it seems pretty evident to me that he's going to. This suffered from one of the same issues that I often have with NXT matches. The result is never in doubt. And the result is never in doubt because the same people get pushed in NXT all the time. If Isaiah Swerve Scott won this match and then had some sort of story with substance behind it, well, we'd be off to the races there. But that doesn't happen. Instead, what we get is Swerve Scott losing and wins the next time he's going to be on TV. Because I sure as hell don't know. Will he pop up again in July? Beats me, because he had not wrestled since May before this. And he was in the tournament, and that was fine and dandy. But he's been sitting on 205 Live. doing that stuff for a while. Having great matches over there. Like, go check out his match with Tony Nese a few weeks back. Real great stuff, but he's been wrestling on 205 Live, so not a lot of people know that he's been winning on 205 Live. And winning a lot. I mean, dominating on 205 Live. I think he's unbeaten in like 17 matches on 205 Live since he jumped over to that brand in October. Or maybe it was August. Why not mention that on commentary, that he's been facing the greatest cruiserweights in the world and hasn't lost on 205 Live since back then? Well, this match suffered from the same thing that I thought that Legado del Fantasma versus Breezango and Drake Maverick did. They have actually built this up with some story, but there was no chance that Legado del Fantasma was going to lose this. And when I say suffered from, both matches were incredible. It's just, when you're going head-to-head with another company, it's hard to keep my attention on one when I know the result before the match is going to happen. And I don't mean that from a spoiler situation. I mean that from just a pure interest aspect. And Legado del Fantasma did win. We saw Tegan Nox promo, Io Shirai promo. Really dug that. This was well put together. One of the highlights of the show. As was Mercedes Martinez beating Santana Garrett's ass. Santana's presentation here screamed AEW Dark to me. And not in a great way. She was one of those people that everybody was all for getting signed. And since then, she's had some hiccups. And this one wasn't a match to really have hiccups in. She got her ass whipped by Mercedes Martinez and did a really good job doing it. So as long as she can do that and do it effectively, that's going to be good news. Getting Mercedes Martinez back, oh boy, is that good news. I am so glad that she's back. I had asked where she was, what was going on, and wasn't told anything about an injury. So you got a lot of people that WWE has just been kind of sitting out without injuries. Mercedes Martinez, 39 years old. I hope she works till she's 50. But this is the first time we've seen her on TV since February when she beat Casey Catanzaro. And these are the only matches she's had since the Royal Rumble, since she showed up there. And I thought maybe she was going to get the call up. Maybe she was heading up. But we have barely seen her on NXT. She was in the Battle Royal. She was in the Royal Rumble. She beat Casey Catanzaro and then was off TV. I mean, they gave us just enough to miss her and want her back. Which, I mean, we also saw her in the Mae Young Classic, and she made quite the impression there. Oh, boy. Damian Priest, Cameron Grimes next week. Only WWE could find a way to make me not interested in Damian Priest, because the guy's one of my favorites to watch in the world. But they got me there, man. Candace and Johnny are interviewed backstage about their victories, and Johnny says he'll deal with Finn Balor, which is the reason he's not in the main event. Candace says they have a few wrongs they need to right, so I'm excited to see where that goes. I think that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. I'll tell you, pretty cool. Keith Lee becomes NXT champion, North American champion. It ends Adam Cole's reign at over 400 days, even though it was filmed a little bit before. And Keith Lee makes history. I can't say enough nice things that I've heard about Keith Lee. And I've never had the pleasure of talking to the guy. But he is a guy that has the respect. Everybody seems to like him. Everybody seems to understand what kind of dude that he is. And it's reflected really in his personality on screen. This match was outstanding, as most NXT main events are. A bit formulaic in the sense that it's like finisher, 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 finisher. Spot, spot, spot. But that's the style of NXT that's worked. Why break that mold right now? I love the Big Bang Catastrophe. I love the Spirit Bomb. now we saw the Last Shot, the Panama Sunrise. We saw all that stuff. But I love the dynamic of this, of Adam Cole being the heel, but having to work from underneath this gargantuan man who was coming after his championship. So Keith Lee wins. We did see, I'm not going to be able to pronounce that member of Indu Share's name, but the one who is not Rinku Singh did spoil it on Instagram last week. Not great. There's some heat on him for that. And probably rightfully so. You got to know better than that. You got to know better than to do something like that. Like, you're being presented this opportunity. And I know Matt Bloom has went to bat for him. I'm pretty sure other people in NXT have went to bat for him. They gave you a good manager. They paired you with a guy who was the fucking million-dollar arm. Man, this was ill-advised on his behalf. But to see Keith Lee celebrating in the ring was just amazing. Then we cut up and we see Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux. Just Scarlett now. I like this because they are throwing someone new into the fold. They are throwing someone new out there. And I mean, look, let's survey the landscape here. Let's take a look at how everything is. Adam Cole's been champion for a year. A year. And then like a month. He was facing Velveteen Dream for months. And Velveteen Dream ain't going to be on that show for a while. Before that, Tommaso Ciampa. Well, Tommaso Ciampa, even though he's been in and out, you know, he's been at the top of the mountain for a very long time. Finn Balor, he's been to that mountaintop. We've seen that before. We've seen it before. And for a couple of months, we weren't really seeing somebody in NXT competing for that title. Matt Riddle, a little bit. Jordan Miles after the prospect tournament, but really, after TakeOver Toronto, there wasn't like a real pay-per-view program or NXT program that you looked at and said, damn it, that's going to be the guy. Matt Riddle, maybe. Pete Dunne wasn't going to win that title. Johnny Gargano wasn't going to win that title back. I like that they're inserting somebody new in. I'm very interested in what happens with Undisputed Era, because how long has it been since they didn't have any title belts? We'll see how that plays out. Solid episode of NXT. AEW Fighter Fest Night 2. Hangman Page and Kenny Omega defeated Private Party. I love Matt Hardy with Private Party. The Hardy Party, whatever the hell you want to call it. Matt Hardy elevating younger talent, helping younger talent, understanding. That is a wonderful thing about Matt Hardy. Understands his place and where he benefits other people. This might shock you. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page can work their asses off. Private Party, I think they're going to add some size over the next couple years, and you'll see them really mature, and they're going to become one of the best teams in the world. They got to get rid of that goddamn tail and that outfit. It drives me nuts every time I see it. So be it. Lance Archer defeated Joey Janela. Sunny Kiss was the person that Archer came out beating up, who was Joey Janela's tag team partner. This ruled. We even saw Sunny Kiss hit a 450. I love that Lance Archer was always going to win this match. Make no mistake. I didn't think Joey Janela had a shot in hell at winning this match. But the question that AEW puts in your mind, Joey Janela might not win this match, but is he going to lose this match? Does that make any sense to you? Joey Janela is such a tough son of a bitch. It's like, man, it's going to be tough to overcome Lance Archer. But can Lance Archer, big badass sirloin beef sons of bitch, can he put away Joey Janela because he's so tough? Well, he did, but it took a while. He had to do the blackout through a goddamn table. And I love it. Doing a move outside, rolling somebody in the ring, getting the pin. That's old school wrestling right there. I love that. Darby Allin appears and says that he's not forgot about Brian Cage, which leads to Taz and Brian Cage coming out. I like this segment. Taz, I do agree with a lot of people, he's getting more over than Brian Cage. That ain't a bad thing. Bobby Heenan was over more over than a lot of the people he managed. Slick was more over than a lot of the people he managed. To me, when I was a kid, I did not give a shit about Nikolai Volkov. I did not give a shit about King Kong Bundy in 1995. I didn't care about the IRS. I didn't care really that much about Comma. Eventually, I would care about Bam Bam Bigelow and Sid and the 1-2-3 Kid. But I cared about them because the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, put his stamp of approval on them. Granted, it wasn't enough for Balls Mahoney as Santa Claus. But damn it, Ted DiBiase was a name that I knew. And I said, you know what? If he sees something in them, they're probably legit. Many of them weren't. I mean, many of them were. Bam Bam, Nikolai Volkov, Erwin R. Scheister, Mike Rotunda. Those were all great names. Tatanka, really good, serviceable people. Taz has been awesome. So he says that tonight was supposed to be a championship match, and he is not going to let his guy leave without a championship. And then he pulls out the FTW championship. It has not been defended or used since 1999. Sabu had won it from him. It was his answer to the ECW championship. And then they unified it, because while Sabu had that title, Taz won the ECW title. I know a lot of people wonder, isn't that WWE property? I don't know. And a lot of people say, oh, well, it's okay. He can use it. He can use it because it wasn't recognized in ECW. That doesn't matter. It's a scripted show. It's not real. So Taz, bringing back the FTW championship. Not something that changed the face of wrestling, but I thought it was pretty damn cool. FTR and Young Bucks beaten by Butcher, Blade, and Lucha Brothers. Butcher and Blade, don't do it for me, man. Ain't doing it for me. Not in this spot. Now, I get it. This was supposed to be Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc. Jimmy Havoc went and fucked that up for everybody. By the way, I encourage you guys, check out our resources section. We got that wrestling tab. Go click resources. We've got, like, updated AEW rosters, NXT rosters, all that. And we, like, have a list of the tag teams there. But look at the tag teams that were here. Instead of Butcher and Blade, could have been MJF and Wardlow. You could have went with somebody else besides Butcher and Blade. I think MJF and Wardlow would have been one that makes sense. Even, I think Angelico and Jack Evans could have used a win here. Now, granted, Butcher and Blade could have as well, but I just look at MJF and Wardlow and I say, you know what? If they're going to win, why not do this? There's some marquee value there as well. There were a couple spots that I didn't quite like here where they just kind of had to sit around and wait. But one of my favorite spots was Dax Harwood and Matt Jackson combining to do a spike pile driver. Man, that was cool. That was really cool. But Lucha Brothers end up picking up the win on Matt. I kind of thought that they should have went and beat FTR in that spot. That way FTR, they don't seem so invincible. But then again, if you beat them, that does take a little of the allure away. So I get it. Next week is Lucha Brothers versus FTR. That should be interesting because FTR has been outspoken about not liking their work. Big Swole arrives to the arena. She is suspended and taken away because she kidnapped Britt Baker. Now, Tony Khan said, we told Swole to go cool off. She's suspended. You can't kidnap wrestlers. And everybody's like, they've been kidnapping wrestlers forever. Well, AEW says you can't, so you can't kidnap them here. And I'm fine with that. Swole did get in later on and caused a ruckus. Nyla Rose beat Kenzie Page and Keelan King. A little underwhelming. I thought this was going to be something a little more special than a handicap match, but Nyla Rose, after the match, says she's got a manager. The promo was not good. The promo wasn't good, but you know what? I'll take a promo that is raw and a little more real and isn't that great over a scripted promo that isn't great. A trainer is working on Colt Cabana, and Mr. Brody Lee says that he's going to have to show up and work, and he does that. Colt Cabana joins Brody Lee and Stu Grayson and defeats SCU. I'm digging this. Dark Order is rejuvenating careers and at least giving some use to some people. And also, I just love them using Stu Grayson here, because Stu Grayson is a workhorse, my man. A workhorse. Cabana tags in, gets a 3 count on Daniels after the discus lariat. I'll say this every time. I wish Brody Lee would use something besides the discus lariat. SCU, always reliable. You can always count on them. Always a good team. You want to talk about good? Let's talk about Orange Cassidy. He got beat by Chris Jericho. And that's okay. If the crowd was here, maybe Orange Cassidy wins this. But they weren't. But Chris Jericho is out there having main event quality matches on... This isn't a pay-per-view, but they treated it like one. But he's out there having badass, balls-to-the-wall matches with guys like Orange Cassidy, who is getting some of his first worldwide exposure. And even though Orange Cassidy lost, it's one of those situations where Orange Cassidy ends up looking really good. Orange Cassidy went in there and was hanging with one of the best of all time. Now, here's the thing. When Jericho used to say, "Ah, the GOAT, I'm one of the greatest of all time," I'd be like, "Yeah, sure, buddy." But man, his longevity has just added and added and added to that. We're talking about a guy who's been on TV for 25 years now. ECW, WCW, WWE, New Japan, AEW. Man has done it all. Man has done it all. And Orange Cassidy picked up a couple wins on Dark. They had him beat Avalon and beat Will Hobbs in a few seconds. That was pretty cool. I like how they're implementing Dark. I'm glad they had him beat Jimmy Havoc a while back, too, because of what happened with Havoc. I'm glad that some people beat him on his way to getting the fuck out of here. This capped off a pretty solid episode of AEW Fighter Fest. I do hate that they had to go right back to the Fight for the Fallen Well, just because Moxley wasn't able to be there, but I get it. I get it. WWE's going to come back and be like, "Oh, well, next week is Bash at the Beach. Oh, we don't own that? Shit. Slamboree. Do we got that? No? What the hell do we got? Fully Loaded. It's Fully Loaded." Had a good time watching these shows tonight. Make sure you check out our review. Most importantly, guys, spread the word. We've got breaking news every single day. We're going to have news bits. I got that Kylie Rae interview coming up. I want to thank you all so much for supporting us during this time. We're going to make some big changes to Fightful pretty soon. I'm very excited for it. I think you all will like it too. Next week on NXT, we have Damian Priest versus Cameron Grimes. We'll have Io Shirai defending her title against Tegan Knox. And over on AEW, Cody is defending the TNT Championship in an open challenge match against Sonny Kiss. You have Jon Moxley defending the AEW Championship against Brian Cage. FTR versus Lucha Brothers. And then you have The Elite versus Jurassic Express. Man, so that is a, I don't want to say pay-per-view quality. That is TV PPV quality. Join me back. Damn it, the hiccups again. Are you kidding me? We're out.